Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more. The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, and the heart and soul of professional wrestling, Tommy Dreamer and I talk about the greatest of all time. No, not Tom Brady that just stepped away after 22 seasons in the NFL, but who's the greatest of all time in the history of pro wrestling? And what's the criteria? We break it down on the latest edition of the Busted Open Podcast. I have my list of, in my eyes, five top candidates that I consider to be in the argument for the greatest of all time. And I know we've had this discussion before, but with Tom Brady stepping aside, I thought it was the best time to bring this up. So when I talk about greatest of all time, Tommy, what would be the criteria to be the greatest of all time?
I mean, I feel the greatest of all time started with Muhammad Ali, because he said, I'm the greatest of all time. So he was the champion. He was a draw. He had, I don't want to say the most titles, but in the world of sports, you can equate success with, like, Tom Brady, most Super Bowl rings, statistics, passing yards. If you went win-loss record in professional wrestling, that would be a good way to do it. But really, I don't think there's, sadly, a win-loss record of anybody's career. I mean, think of the winning percentage Andre the Giant had. I'm watching current WWE Old School on Peacock, and Bob Backlund has an undefeated streak. And I know, you know, Bob Backlund, I know reading his book, but Bob got a push like throughout his career. So if you think about it, he came into the WWE 77, he won the title, I want to say 79. Then he had a 5-year run.
Yeah.
And then he only lost once to the Iron Sheik. It wasn't with his doing. He didn't get his rematch, and then he left. I mean, think of that winning percentage. So when we're talking about wrestling, it's different. And there would be, this is an argument that will be had. I think for right now, Tom Brady is the only person who can clearly win that argument in any sport. Because if you talked about, you know, most rings, you know, Yogi Berra, or Parrish with the Celtics, but then like, well, he's no LeBron, he's no Magic, he's no, you know, Kobe, but that's also a generational thing. So there's a lot of things going into that. I think we have modern day GOATs, but because they're still wrestling, I think you become GOAT status once you stop wrestling.
Yeah, and I want to get into modern day GOATs, and I want to get that into that a little bit later in the show, but I do want to talk about the greatest of all time. And in my five that I picked as kind of like the candidates, there are a few from different eras. So my criteria is this, Tommy. You know, I want you to agree, and if, hopefully the nation will agree as well. Being a champion, because being a champion, especially in the past, that meant you were a draw, right? They gave you that championship title because they knew you could draw the house. So being a champion, being a draw, influence, the influence that you had on the upcoming generations in the sport of pro wrestling, and then your legacy, how you look back on once you've been retired. So I think those are really four or five different things that you kind of have to look at as the criteria in pro wrestling for being the greatest of all time.
It's a great criteria. Just so everybody knows, this is not a laminated list. This is just happening. So he's
this
writing
is on
this
notebook.
Down.
This is on my notebook.
This is not official. Maybe he could be swayed.
I could be swayed.
It's not in lamination mode, because then once that happens, it's not happening.
No, I could be swayed because, you know, greatness. Because again, pro wrestling's like any other sport, right? Like you just said, in football, basketball, baseball, you go by stats, you go by rings. You know, go by MVPs. Can't really go by that way when it comes to pro wrestling. But I do think championships, draw, being a draw, the influence, the legacy, I think that's a criteria you can go by in pro wrestling, Tommy.
This is a debate. It could be an argument. It could start, if you're in a bar, it would start a fight. If you were in a stadium, it could start riots. So it's like I'm trying to think. Like I totally feel Tom Brady has locked that in for football. There is no baseball. You can't say Babe Ruth. You can't say you could talk about, yes, he is a GOAT, but there's other GOAT-like status. I went to the world of bodybuilding in my head, and right away you would say Arnold Schwarzenegger. But then, you know, with the Olympia, there's people who've beaten his record in the Olympia. So how can you say that he's the greatest of all time when there's people who won more titles than him?
I like where your mind is going, Tommy, because even in football, you could say, well, the rules have changed, right? The rules have changed for defenses. So quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers are going to get much bigger stats than they did 25 or 30 years ago because the rules have changed. In pro wrestling, that's not true. Whether it's the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, 2010s, 2020s, you could still go by the criteria of championships, draw power, influence, and legacy. I don't think that's changed in pro wrestling throughout. I actually think it's easier to find the go in pro wrestling than any other sport.
And if you think, if you think about a key thing that you said, legacy. We just announced the Baseball Hall of Fame. The guy who has the most home runs is not in the Hall of Fame and cannot be. He's been eliminated.
Yeah.
Roger Clemens, who was a GOAT, and that's because of their legacy, because people want to say because of steroids. Pete Rose, most hits, not in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Because of his legacy. So it is that is super duper key in your assessment right there. Good call on that one.
Here's my list. And again, I'm gonna try during the course of this show to whittle this list down. But are you ready to hear my candidates for the GOAT, the greatest of all time?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Undertaker.
Great.
Terry Funk.
Hate you because I'm 2 for 2 with you.
Ric Flair.
3 for 3.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Uh-huh.
Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And one more, Lou Thesz.
Oof. Now think of the people that you left out.
There's a ton of people I left out.
I know, but that's why this is so. And this is, you're just put together a random five when you're supposed to say Tom Brady, the GOAT of football. Wayne Gretzky, the GOAT of hockey. Even this, like I said, all started with Muhammad Ali because he said he was the greatest of all time. And then every pro wrestler stole his shtick. So, but then you could talk about Mike Tyson.
Yep.
But then you go back to legacy.
And that's the other thing too. Like a Hulk Hogan, you know, is his legacy tarnished enough that maybe you won't consider him the greatest of all time? You know, Ric Flair's been in the news a lot. Does that tarnish his legacy of being the greatest of all time? You know, I mean, you know, The Undertaker, you know, breaking down that wall, the one last guy that believed in kayfabe and having that documentary, you know, people are upset about that. They love the fact that he was still holding on to that, though he had every right to do it, you know? Lou Thesz, does he go back way too far for a lot of fans to consider him the greatest of all time? There's a lot of questions when it comes to even my list when it comes to the GOAT, Tommy.
Yes, and here I could give a list of people who should be greatest of all time and are probably won't even be considered. You talked about Lou Thesz. He would be on my list, but why wouldn't Harley Race when Harley had more titles than Lou?
Agreed. And then what about like Ricky Steamboat, who some people believe was maybe the greatest pound-for-pound wrestler in that ring, flawless when he was in that ring, or a Dusty Rhodes, as many people consider the greatest babyface wrestler of all time. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about those. And then later on, I want to get into the modern-day greatest of all time. Like you said, you need to be retired to really be in this conversation, but there's people who are still wrestling right now that you have to throw into the conversation as well, too, Tommy.
Yep. Or, you know, think of Bruiser Brody, who yep. people would call the greatest of all time, but yet never won a world title. It's there's a lot to really break down. I feel Bret Hart would be in that consideration. In your list, right off my bat, you didn't have The Rock, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
No, I didn't.
Think of that.
I know.
Nick Bockwinkle, Vern Gagne.
I mean, there's a lot. You know what? You know why we're doing it? We need help. All right, let's go back out to the nation. Let's go to Marty in New York. What's going on, Marty?
Hey, how are you? Long time listener, first time caller. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Marty, for calling in.
Okay, I am a 69-year-old lifetime wrestling fan since 1957. Like the other fellow who called, I would have to throw out a name first that isn't my choice, and that would be Gorgeous George, simply because of the effect he had on professional wrestling and bringing it mainstream with the advent of television. But for me, growing up on Long Island in the 60s, to me, the greatest of all time is still Bruno.
I like where he's going, and I like the phone call, Tommy. And he mentions Gorgeous George. And if you look back at the influence of what Gorgeous George was able to do, in the 50s, pro wrestling kind of started the era of television. It was one of the biggest shows in that beginning of the television era. I mean, it's hard not to give a nod to somebody like Gorgeous George, Tommy.
Changed the industry with that character. And like he said, was a television attraction. And then, you know, we also, per your criteria, titles, drawing power, and you know, with him, it's not just Madison Square Garden, it's Comiskey Ballpark, all these stadiums, all these different places. So the sad part about a lot of these GOATs, they get lost in generations.
Yep.
But if you're a true historian of the game, you're going to talk about, like, I don't know who Tom Brady considers the GOAT. I probably would say he'd think he'd be Joe Montana.
Yeah, for him, I mean, he grew up watching Joe Montana. Marty, great call. And thank Gorgeous you. George, when he was on top on TV, you go back and watch some of those matches from the 50s, it was like suit and tie. You know, you go and look at the crowds that went to see wrestling. It was suit and tie. And that completely changed a decade later.
And another guy who wasn't like a giant. Like, he was a smaller guy and just, like, ran with his gimmick. And, you know, one of your greatest of all time, Ric Flair, kind of took a lot of Gorgeous George and made it him.
Muhammad Ali said he got inspired by Gorgeous George when he would do his promos. And also, you know, you saw it later on, the influence of, like, a superstar Billy Graham. So, like, there's a lot of names, and I'm sure we're going to get a ton from the Busted Open Nation. Let's go out to Raphael in Quebec. Raphael, what do you got on the GOAT talk?
I got to say, I'm a younger fan, so maybe my answer won't be some of the ones you've been hearing. My favorite wrestler of all time is John Cena. But if I have to put a name in for greatest of all time in the past, I know he's still wrestling today, but it would be Rey Mysterio.
All right. Well, Raphael, how old are you?
24.
So you're young, man. And you know what, Raphael? It's not a bad call. Because, Tommy, you were talking about that before, John Cena. When you look at what he was able to do in the WWF, what he was able to do in springboarding into a career in acting – I think if you made a Mount Rushmore for strictly WWE, No doubt John Cena would be on that Mount Rushmore.
Absolutely, because he was the face of the company for so long. With Rey Mysterio, when I was talking about subcategories, I was going to say, I think it's pretty, it's an easier debate to say that Rey Mysterio is the greatest of all time masked wrestler. And that's nothing against, you know, the heritage of Lucha Libre, but for titles won, for longevity, for being, you know, selling out places, for his innovative style, you have to have Rey Mysterio. He's got to be higher than Mil Máscaras, because Mil Máscaras never won the world title. And then, you know, you have a lot of great wrestlers, you know, the Blue Demon, the list goes on and on, but they never, when we talk about territorial, they never left Mexico.
Yeah.
They went to Japan, but never became gigantic stars in the States.
It's a great debate. And of course, you know, The Rock, you got to throw
it's
out
a rabbit
the Rock
hole
as well. It is. It is crazy. Carlos Colon, when you talk about all the championships he won, you know, you might be able to throw Carlos Colon out there. I know Andre, who's our assistant producer here on Busted Open, is a younger fan. Andre, who would you put in there as the greatest of all time?
My greatest of all time, and this goes way back, way before my generation.
Well, hold on, Andre. How old are you?
I'm 25.
25. So, all right, 25-year-old perspective. Go ahead, Andre.
My pick is Lou Thesz, because I go back to thinking, when did wrestling create its form? Who moved that needle to have that big draw, to have that match after match with the style that we see, and it's not like 6 hours of grappling? And Lou Thesz is the name that moves the needle completely. And especially if you're talking championships too, if your criteria involves championships, he was the one that really built the NWA World's Heavyweight title. He was champion for like 5 years or 6 years, and he really developed it. And every single other promotion that we talk about, Hogan, Austin, everyone in between, they're all promotions that seceded from the NWA. Their titles are pretty much, you could link the you know, the family tree up to the NWA, and Lou Thesz is the one that built it, in my opinion. That's why, for me, he's the GOAT.
Wow. I mean, and you know what? That's a great point. And I said it myself that Lou Thesz is on my list, and I got to see Lou Thesz wrestle. I believe you did too. I don't know if you were there that night when, at the Meadowlands in 87, Tommy, they had that Legends Battle Royal. Do you remember that?
I don't remember either.
Lou Thesz won. And I remember Bill Apter was doing all the interviews with all the legends that were a part of it. And it was a long list of amazing legends. It was all about Lou Thesz. I mean, think in that Legends Battle Royal, Tommy, are you ready? Lou Thesz was in it. Crusher, Nick Bockwinkel, Ray Stevens, Al Costello, Pat O'Connor, Rene Goulet, Gene Kaninsky, Bobo Brazil, Dominic DiNucci, Arnold Skolin, Tony Garea, I mean, Chief J Strongbow, Pedro Morales, Killer Kowalski, and Lou Thesz won that. And I just remember Bill Apter talking to everybody that was in that battle royal about what an influence Lou Thesz was on in their careers. So when Andre says Lou Thesz, it's hard to argue against a Lou Thesz.
Absolutely.
It's the Cincinnati Bengals and the LA Rams in Super Bowl 56. Hi there, everybody. This is Lindsay Rhodes. And if you want analysis for every angle of this exciting, surprising, legacy-defining matchup, you're going to love my podcast, The NFL Roadshow. Our guests and conversations aim to make you a savvier football fan. We're going to cut through the lazy narratives, and there are a lot of them. The low-hanging fruit, none of that. If you want to be the smartest person at your Super Bowl party, please subscribe and listen wherever you stream your podcasts. New episodes up every Monday and Thursday.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly. So why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This conversation, the one thing I love about it, Tommy, is that everyone that we spoke to has a different greatest of all time. And some of the names I thought I would hear often, I don't even think we've heard that much at all.
My favorite part of this conversation has for the GOAT conversation, because I think I really enjoyed both interviews with Dylan and Nyla because of the conversations that we're having. But the GOAT conversation, what intrigues me the most is everyone who's saying who's the greatest of all time is not their favorite wrestler. That is just, and for me too, but I don't have one, just like I like every football team.
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite. I can break them down and come close, but it's such an intriguing conversation.
And for me, I probably would have to say Ric Flair is the greatest of all time, in my opinion. And he's also my favorite wrestler, but with everything that we've talked about and the criteria and a lot of the criteria that the fans are looking at, I may not look at that the same way because of the criteria. That's what makes this an interesting conversation as well, because everybody has their list of what needs to happen for them in order to be recognized as the greatest of all time.
But then when he says Shawn Michaels, doesn't that change? Doesn't that cause the reboot in David's brain?
But again, like Dylan Postol said, Shawn Michaels. But you would also agree, Tommy, that when he was champion, that was a down period for the WWF.
I'm feeling warm with happiness because I'm having a flashback when I talked to my hero, my mentor, the reason I got into professional wrestling, Dusty Rhodes. And I asked him this question. He looked right at me. And for those who've ever dealt with him, he tilted his head down so he could see you above his glasses. And he went, me, just like that.
Nice.
And then he smiled in his dusty smile. And then he named other people. But when you think of that, and I think of those, I don't want to say ramifications, when the caliber of a Ric Flair then says Shawn Michaels is the greatest of all time, it changes for me. It really, really does. And I listed a lot of people. I have to say my greatest of all time has to be Terry Funk for exactly what I said before, but because of influence and all the criteria that we talk about, but just at the age that he did it, where he helped a company that I was so part of. But then guess what? He went to the WWE in the Chainsaw Charlie gimmick. And then guess what? He went to WCW after that. And then, like, you know, what he did for my own company, House of Hardcore, just still being able to draw on the indies. And I talked to him a lot, but like his brain for wrestling is still perfect. It really is. Cause he'll tell me things, and I don't think he follows the current product, but I mean, he's just such full of knowledge, and it's, I feel he's the greatest of all time. And when you talk about, you know, Roadhouse, whatever, you know, WWE clamors for is, you know, these people, he was a, you know, a big star outside of wrestling and then just came back to wrestling.
Yeah. And, you know, Roadhouse, Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone,
Paradise Alley
with Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. I mean, and also Tommy, what he did for deathmatch wrestling, you know, the documentaries you've been seeing with Onita and stuff talks about the influence that Terry Funk had on him.
But it's because also how he adapted to the changing business. And there's a lot of people who I'll put him over. Matt Cardona could have gone the easy route and just rode that. I was a former WWE guy for a long time and still been booked everywhere. He has changed with the times. He was the first person to use social media to get himself over while he was in that system. I don't know if he will go down as a GOAT, but what he has done for the business and for himself, he's definitely GOAT-like status. And that goes to the conversation of who is, you know, future GOAT-like people. If Cardona sticks to his path, who the hell knows where he could show up? If he wins the NWA title, what if, I don't think he'd ever go back to WWE because, I mean, he's also said it, he's having too much fun and making way more money. But think of if he went to the, if he becomes like this, he's an amazing character online. But I mean, think if he just showed up in AEW to do what he does. I see what he does in Impact.
What he's doing with the NWA right now. He's putting NWA's eyes on the NWA with the interview he had here and what he did yesterday to Trevor Murdoch on Fight. Chris Jericho, Tommy. You know, Chris Jericho right now would probably be in my top 10 of all time, and he's still wrestling.
Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, I could even, people, you know, The Rock, if you put him in a subcategory, greatest Samoan wrestler of all time, then how in another 2 years, if his progression continues, would Roman Reigns not surpass The Rock? I'm not just talking Samoan. I'm like doing subcategories because this is so hard. But this is future generations. Randy Orton. Everyone talks about Jericho and the work he's doing. Look at frigging Edge.
I know.
I mean, he's basically out there every week, must see on his interviews when he's talking. And then his matches and his storylines get you hooked. And there's always a great payoff.
Yeah, let's get back to the Busted Open Nation because they have a lot of ideas. We got a full bank of phone calls. Let's go to Steve in New Jersey. Okay, what's going on, Steve?
Hey, good morning, Tom, Dave. Thanks for picking my call.
You got it, buddy.
My answer is not going to be a big surprise, but I think I have the facts to back it up. So the wrestler I'm going to choose has wrestled Buddy Rogers and Brock Lesnar. So I think that gives him the longevity. And my choice is Ric Flair. I know it's not an original answer, but if you look at the criteria, you look at draw. He drew money in Mid-South, Georgia, World Class, Japan, WCW, NWA, TNA. Charisma. Sure. Hogan might have been a bigger draw. Dusty had the most charisma, but Flair had the charisma and he drew. And then the look. You had the blonde hair, the tan, the ring work. Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, great ring workers. But were their interviews really a Ric Flair level?
No.
Let's be serious. I mean, for me, that guy is like, he's the be-all and end-all of all wrestling. Like I said, like Hulk Hogan was great, great wrestler. And if you go generational, you know, the 80s, like Hogan was kind of like the top star, but was he the best worker? And then the 90s, he had Shawn Michaels. And like from 2000s on, I think you got to say Jericho, like for generational. And you had guys like Jack Briscoe and Harley Race in the past. But to go through generation to generation from, say, 1975 to 2005, who carried the ball for that long?
And he was a true world champion. And, you know, his name is a household name. It's not a bad call from Steve, Tommy. And I feel like we're going to get a lot more ideas, a lot more on the criteria.
The best part about all of this, there's no wrong answer. But why I enjoy the nation so much is because of, like, they're listening and then they're giving their reasons how we're breaking it down as well. And you see it on social media too, but you know, for everyone talking about, well, this, and there is no wrong answer.
No, I mean, they're all right. And it's based on your criteria. Let's go out to Caden in Nevada. Caden, who do you got as your goat?
Well, I think there's many goats. It's hard to just choose one, but for me, for today, I got to go with Dusty Rhodes for not only what he does in the ring, but also how he helps the guys and upcomers in today's generation, too. So,
Caden said there's a herd of goats, which is true. There's a lot of goats, so I guess you would call that a herd of goats, Caden, and thank you. He says Dusty Rhodes. You look at
his
Dusty Rhodes'
influence in the industry, his sons in AEW, and how many wrestlers he helped train and get to that next level. You will see how far his reach really meant for the longest time, for generations to come.
And Caden's call, again, eye-opening for me, because when I was thinking of Dusty, I was just thinking of Dusty Rhodes in the ring on the microphone, which definitely makes him one of the greatest of all time. But when you factor in the influence, especially like what we're seeing from the Black and Gold brand on the main roster, the Dusty influence of some, I mean, would we have had, you know, that great women's division in the WWE if it wasn't for Dusty Rhodes with NXT? And then you just said it, Dustin and Cody, his legacy. I mean, it's hard not, you can't argue with Dusty Rhodes, Tommy.
Nope. And it's never been, we've talked about it, but Terry Funk.
Yeah.
How much Terry has influenced and gotten people in those spots. And, you know, Terry, how they started so many wrestlers. And Dusty is one of those guys.
It's been an education. Just got educated by something else that Gabby just mentioned. It's not a herd of goats. It's a trip of goats. So you don't say herd of goats. It's trip of goats.
Can I trip your brain? Because not one person has said it.
Go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Roddy Piper. Head turn. Just happened.
Would there have been WrestleMania without Rowdy Roddy Piper? Would there have been the Rock and Wrestling Connection without Rowdy Roddy Piper? Is he one of the greatest on the microphone? Then you talk about influence. You know, you mentioned Terry Funk with acting. What about what Rowdy Roddy Piper was able to do? They Live is one of the greatest sci-fi movies of all time.
I like the quick head turn. And you're like, correct, Roddy Piper. There comes all the it scrolls in front of your glasses like Terminator.
Ronda Rousey, influenced by Roddy Piper. Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
But no one has said it. He's not on your list. He wouldn't be on my list.
He's not on my list.
And yet, how much did you friggin' love Roddy Piper?
I loved Roddy. Actually, I hated Roddy Piper. I was a Jimmy Snuka fan, so I hated Roddy Piper.
Future GOAT, Rob Van Dam.
The whole effing show.
Held two world titles at once.
Mike the Video Guy says The Rock is his GOAT, for what it's worth. Daniela says nothing, per usual. Are you ready to get back out to the Busted Open Nation?
Yes.
Let's go out to Anthony in Orlando. Anthony, who's your GOAT?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, as we all know, of course, this is a tough one, man, because, I mean, there's so many. But, you know, I was really thinking about, you know, what I consider the GOAT, and based off of the criteria from earlier, one of your callers from earlier mentioned the criteria about, you know, wrestlers that wrestled for different organizations. And actually, I do like that criteria, but
it's a good one.
One that comes to mind that I think had a lot of a major influence on the business. And I was thinking, who is someone that wrestled for multiple different organizations, found some, you know, some really great success with their career, is truly a standout, but also someone that wrestled an unorthodox type of style of wrestling that's very distinct, and to this day, no one has really, you know, I mean, you could, you have your arguments, but like no one has really been able to, like, you know, to replicate this particular wrestler. But personally, my favorite, and I mean my GOAT, is Mick Foley. And the reason being is, you know, again, he had such an unorthodox wrestling style that was something that was just very unmatched with a lot of pro wrestlers, you know, during the late 80s and into the 90s, but also as well is that, you know, his influence, you know, WCW, ECW, and then when he went over to the WWF, and, you know, his debut in 1996, you know, which was an amazing year for Mick Foley, and he had, you know, that classic feud matches with The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, et cetera. He brought a different style to the WWF during that era that I think was influential in helping to bring a harder and more hardcore style and you know, again, created these, you know, amazing matches. He was also given different gimmicks that he made every gimmick in every storyline that he was in. He ran with it. He did amazing with it. He became a champion. He was someone that was not supposed to succeed in wrestling based off of, you know, whatever you want to call it, his looks or his in-ring style. His influence with death matches, you name it. I mean, I think that Mick Foley, I think that, and I don't know if anybody earlier maybe named Mick Foley, but I think Mick Foley absolutely is a GOAT, you know, and if we're going to also talk about modern day, as of today, who is still active, I would say AJ Styles. And again, he's another one that has wrestled for different organizations, you know, TNA, New Japan, WWE, and same thing. He is one that he has not only had so many classic matches and moments and championships and whatnot, he's been able to evolve and fit every organization and every style and every storyline, every gimmick. He has made it work. He has hit it out of the ballpark. And I think if he's not considered necessarily a modern-day GOAT right now, I'd say in 5 years he will be considered. So anyways, that's my GOAT, and that's a modern-day GOAT. And thank you so much, guys, for taking your call, and have a great day.
All right, thank you, Anthony. Great call by Anthony. Mick Foley, obviously an influence on generation. And he said he could do – somebody that doesn't look like the quintessential pro wrestler became one of the biggest pro wrestlers of all time. I love the AJ Styles pick for modern day. What WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan, everywhere he went, AJ Styles was at the top of the card.
Yep.
Bullet Club member, AJ Styles.
Something I truly loved about the Royal Rumble was when Bobby Roode and AJ were in that ring and the whole building started chanting TNA, because they don't get acknowledged as much for their part of the history. And when you talk about Mick Foley, there's no bigger praise. I love Mick Foley, but think of also this, the author. He was the one who pretty much brought that whole wrestling book craze back. He has done so much, a storyteller, and if his body didn't give out, I think he would still be in the business, but successful at everything he's doing, like his comedy tours outside of the business, and where, you know, you look at him and it, yeah, you're right. He wasn't supposed to make it, and he overcame all adversity, and definitely GOAT status.
Yeah, great one. Let's try to get a couple more calls in before we say goodbye. Let's go to Greg in Memphis. Greg, who's your GOAT?
All right, somebody hadn't been talked about, and he's wrestled probably 97% of the older wrestlers y'all have talked about, and that's Jerry Lawler. I mean, he's really done a lot for the company. I mean, he was one of the first one-liners out there. Could really, you know, he had the gift for gab. And Jimmy Hart wouldn't even be in wrestling today if it wasn't for him.
There wouldn't be a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah, there would be a lot of people. And Greg, it's a great call. Is there anybody that's done more than Jerry Lawler when you look at the influence outside of the ring. You know, the whole thing with Andy Kaufman and David Letterman and, you know, Man on the Moon and all that. Like, you talk about the influence he had in the ring and on the mic, the creative genius of Jerry Lawler, but then what he was, the influence outside of the ring as well. Jerry Lawler is a great pick, Tommy.
And drawing power, still out there wrestling, still drawing houses. Another wrestler, that Jimmy Valiant.
Boogie Woogie Man.
Think of, I've heard the legends of his draw and drawing power, and it's nuts.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.